Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. Today, a special teaching edition of Basic Gospel, and for that reason, the phone lines will not be open. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, hold that question or your particular topic to our next live edition, and we'll be glad to address it then. You know, the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It intersects with your life every day. It's Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you on that next live edition. So hold that question or that particular issue. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the church, and you know, the good news that the church has is the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. We know that truth. That truth has been deposited into our midst. We hold on to that. We cling to it. That's what brings unity to our very lives as a body,
right,
as a congregation of believers. And Paul talks about that unity that we have in several places. Ephesians chapter 4, I think, is his most famous. He says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." And then he says this, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." So it's not a call to be unified. It's a call to keep the unity that we already have in Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Here's the good news. Every single one of us was saved in exactly the same way. Sure, our stories were unique to us. Our circumstances may have been different. But at a point in time, we came to this place of repentance, of faith in Jesus Christ. We received the offer of life. At that moment in time, we crossed over from death to life. We were added to the body of Christ. It was by grace that we were saved through faith. That happened to each and every one of us. So the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead physically raised each and every one of us from the dead spiritually. We all have that in common. That's the unifying truth that we all hold to. Now, when we come to Christ, we're added to the body. So we're all members of the body of Christ.
Right.
It's the Catholic Church. And when I say Catholic, I don't mean the Roman Catholic Church. I mean Catholic in the sense of universal. Mm-hmm. We all belong together. So Paul's encouragement to us wasn't to come together and bring unity. It's to preserve the unity. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body. Here's the why. There is one body and one Spirit. There's not a Jewish body of believers or a Gentile body of believers. There's not a Catholic body of believers or a Protestant body of believers. There's just one body of believers. And there's one body and there's one Spirit. The Spirit of God has been given to each and every member of this body of Christ. So just as you were called to one hope when you were called, there's just one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Yeah.
That's the church. That's the unity that we have as a body of believers. Now, down in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul continues this theme. He says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." So here we have a unity that's built into the body of Christ. And his first encouragement to us was to maintain that, to keep the unity. And here he shows a growing into this unity. It seems a little bit contradictory here, but that's not what he's talking about at all. He's saying that this one body is made up of all types of people. He talked about that in chapters 2 and 3, that he made one new man out of two people groups,
right,
Jew and Gentile. Well, they're not going to be unified right at the start. There's going to be all kinds of differences of opinions, and one group is going to look at the other group and say, we're better than you, and the other group is going to say, no, we're better. And so there's going to be strife, and there's going to be tension, and there's going to be all of that stuff. But God has equipped the body with certain gifts so that we can grow up into the unity that we actually have in Christ Jesus, so that unity can actually become a real expression of who we are as believers in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, it's almost as if, you know, when God creates this new person, this new saved person, that he has done all the stuff that defines unity. And then what we get to do as part of the maturity process is to discover what that unity means as we start dropping off all of these things we used to artificially separate ourselves with.
And boy, we have a lot of those things, don't
we? Yeah.
We bring a lot of baggage to the table when we come to Christ. We bring a lot of baggage to the church. And that's part of why Paul wrote many of these letters, to help us let go of that baggage and to recognize all that we truly have in Jesus Christ and all that we truly have one with another. As fellow believers in Christ. So God has equipped the body with certain gifts, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers. And those are gifts. Those aren't necessarily offices. I think those are gifts to the body, and those gifts have a function, and that's to prepare God's people for works of service so that we can grow up in this unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That is the role of the church. That's how a church is to function. We're all growing up together in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature. That takes a lot of work. It takes the power of God's Spirit. It takes the love of God to make all of that happen. There's no other way to make it happen, is there?
Oh, no. If it was just up to us, you and me, it would be over before it even started.
Right.
But because of who Jesus is and who he is in you and me, then we actually have a prayer of seeing this because he wants to make it happen.
Yes, indeed. Now, it's kind of interesting. We were talking today about John chapter 10, mm-hmm. and there's some powerful messages in that particular chapter. Jesus gives a lot of really decisive statements about who he is.
Yes.
Some of those I am passages are right there in John chapter 10. But he talks about him being the gate, him being the good shepherd. But he gives some information about the nature of the church that I think is really powerful. And I think probably Paul echoes a lot of what Jesus was saying there in this particular passage. Richard,
yes.
What were some of the things that Jesus was talking about the nature of the church?
Yeah, well, this is in John 10, starting in verse 14. It's one of the good shepherd statements. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, here's the important thing. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. So he's talking to Jewish people. And he says, you know, I know you Jewish people, but there are other people that you don't know that I know that are coming from a different sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Not two, not three, not one and a half, one flock. Anybody who responds to Jesus is made part of that one flock, and there will be no other shepherd ever, ever, ever than Jesus himself. And that's what he promised. I've got other sheep, that's us Gentiles, they're going to come, and all of you are going to be part of one flock because I'm the one shepherd. And by the way, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. Jesus came to create this one flock as the one shepherd. He laid his life down, he picked his life back up, and we are the joyful recipients.
Well, you've tuned into a special teaching edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Very interesting discussion.
Yes, indeed. And I think Paul picks up that theme here in Ephesians chapter 4. There's just one flock.
That's why
he says there's one body. Mm-hmm. There's one spirit that holds us together. That's the Spirit of God that has been poured out in each and every one of us, expressing the love of God one to another. That's the glue that holds us together. And we have one shepherd. Jesus Christ is the head of this body. And as we follow him, as we pay attention to Jesus, as we keep our eyes upon Jesus, as we walk in dependence upon Jesus, as we walk by the Spirit, we're going to see this unity lived out among us. And that's a miracle. I mean, that is an absolute miracle. If the world looks in and sees this miracle being lived out, they're going to take note that something supernatural is happening among that group of people. Why? Because I see folks who were once enemies now really genuinely, authentically loving one another. Yes. That's huge. What do we say today when it comes to the church? We criticize the church and we say, it's no wonder the world is moving away from us. It's no wonder that the world is criticizing us. It's no wonder that the world is saying negative things about the church. Why? Because when they look in, they don't see this miracle of love being poured out one toward another. They see us shooting our wounded. They see us backbiting. They see pride and arrogance and ego and celebrity and all of those ugly things that they see out in the world.
What's the difference?
And so that's exactly what they say. There's no difference. Well, there is a difference, and that difference is marked out by the Spirit of God's work in and through us in creating this unity that he did in developing the church itself and then expressing this unity through love one toward another. That's a miracle. That's why Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciples when by your love one for another. Talk about evidence. That's the evidence that the world needs to see. And that's the evidence that we can provide, not through human effort, but through dependence upon the Spirit to do his work in and through us. So this church, the very nature of it, is miraculous. It is supernatural. And if we will look to Jesus, we will see his supernatural life being lived out through us.
Well, Bob, that brings to mind the fact that you are making available your book, Love Is, online at our website. Click the link at the website. You'll get a free copy of it as a Kindle download. And I think that I'm pretty sure that whether you have the Kindle player or not, whether you have the iPad or the iPhone, the Kindle player is free. It's a free download. So if you haven't taken the opportunity to do that, download the Kindle player and then download Love Is. Absolutely free. Our gift to you. It's a Kindle download, and you can find it at basicgospel.net. And take advantage of the opportunity to do that. And it's ranked pretty high right now on the download list.
Yes, it is. I think it's number one on several lists on Amazon. But it's a fresh look at the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not this ushy-gushy feeling that we tend to think of it as. Love is action. And all of those statements about love are actually verbs. Love is patient. That word in the Greek is actually a verb, a present tense active verb. Love is kind. Again, that's a present tense active verb. That's what the world needs to see within the church, this action of love that we give one to another. Do we have differences as people? Yes, we do. Are our backgrounds different? Yes, they are. Is it going to take some work to experience unity with all of that baggage being brought to the table? Absolutely. Well, how do we experience that? By exercising patience one with another, by being kind one to another, by not counting people's wrongs against them, not keeping records of wrongs, by hoping and believing and persevering, all of those things are aspects of the love of God. So that definition actually takes the word love and shoots it through a spiritual prism, and we get to see all of the many facets of this active verb love displayed for us. That's what the world needs to see, and that's what this book is all about. It really it takes each and every one of those 15 statements about love and looks at it with fresh eyes. This is how God first and foremost loves you. He's patient with you. And boy, did we ever need patience. I mean, we lived in rebellion toward God. We were anti-God before this gospel message did something inside of us. But his patience is what enabled us to come to that point where we came to the end of ourselves and said, hey, we need some help. So his patience meant our salvation. So when we're patient one with another, it's going to mean good things. It's going to mean positive things. It's going to mean beneficial things. God is kind to us. Well, kindness isn't just a manner, you know, that he speaks kindly and in soft tones and that sort of thing. Kindness is actually doing something that's of benefit to another person.
Right.
So we understand it as acts of kindness. You see somebody on the side of the road with a flat tire. You are moved with compassion. You pull over, you get out, and you help that person change the tire. That's an act of kindness. Well, God's act of kindness to us, again, was salvation.
Yeah.
We needed life. We were dead spiritually. Well, in his kindness, he made us alive together with Christ. That was an act of kindness. We need those kind of acts, one with another. We need to persevere with each other. It's so easy for us to give up, isn't it?
Yeah.
When things just aren't going the way we want them to go, we just give up and move on.
Walk away.
Absolutely. Why? Because we don't want to deal with the problem. Why? Because we'll have to actually roll up our sleeves.
Yeah, you're going to get dirty.
Yeah, going to have to get dirty. Love, if you're going to love somebody else, you're going to have to get dirty.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't do it and be all nice and clean and that sort of thing.
Well, that just means you're being aloof,
right?
Which means you're not involved.
Right, right. Aren't you glad that God was involved with us?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that he was engaged with us? So much so that he sent Jesus. Jesus became one of us. He tasted death for us.
The personification of love.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So this personification of love now lives inside of us.
Yeah.
And so as we abide and depend upon him, we're going to see that personification of love lived out through us.
The Kindle version of Bob's book, Love Is available to you absolutely free of charge. All you need to do is go online to basicgospel.net and click that link. You'll see it right there on the homepage. Love Is, a free Kindle download. It doesn't get any better than that.
No, it really does. Free is always good.
Don't even have to pay shipping for it.
No, we like that free word. And I encourage you not to download it for yourself. And to have that as a resource, but also encourage your friends to download it. We need this kind of message going out. The book is highly evangelical. Mm-hmm. So if you know somebody that has never come to Christ, they'll have an opportunity to respond to the gospel in reading this particular book. If you know somebody that's really struggling in their Christian experience, this book will help connect them to this rest and security that they can have in Christ, knowing that God really loves them.
Absolutely.
So it's a valuable resource. It's yours up until tomorrow, free of charge.
I'll tell you what I did. I put the link on my Facebook page, and I encourage all of you who have Facebook listings to do that very thing and take advantage of the opportunity to get the message out there. And all you need to do is add the link, loveisbook.net. That's loveisbook.net, and right on your Facebook page, and that will do everything that needs to be done.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Well, another interesting aspect of this passage in Ephesians, and going back to what you were reading there in John 10, Richard, the fact that there's one flock, there's one shepherd, and the flock is to grow in the knowledge of the one shepherd.
Yes.
So we hear his voice, We recognize his voice. We follow him. But as we follow him, we become more acquainted with his ways, who he is, what his true character is, what makes his heart beat, what motivates him. We start finding out all of those sort of things. And Paul again picks up that here in Ephesians. He says when we are going to reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we're going to become mature. So what happens when we grow in our understanding and knowledge of Christ Jesus? We become mature. We really do. That's when we go through these stages of growth, rest and security, victory, and then purpose. When we become mature in Christ, not only individually, but corporately, as a body, we're recognizing the very heartbeat of Jesus Christ, and our hearts are being aligned with his. And that's when this really gets exciting, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to talk about, you know, this one flock, and in the context of love, you will know personally that you are beginning to mature when you look at the church, and instead of saying, well, these dirty so-and-sos, you know, they're all wrong, they're judging each other, and so here I am judging you. And instead of that, you see the church, warts and all, and the Spirit says, well, Richard, I can love some of them through you. And you say, yes, Lord. And instead of trying to change all those dirty so-and-sos, he changes me. And then I'm able to reach in and affect a couple of people, and they affect a couple of people, and it just goes and goes.
Yeah, it just, those and circles all the knowledge getting wider and wider. Absolutely. If you know somebody, you're going to start becoming like them.
Yes.
I remember when my dad died, a number of people came up to me and said, you're just like your dad. Greatest compliment I've ever been given in my life. Because my dad was something special. And how did I get to be like him? Well, I started to know him. I started to see what he was like. And it made a difference inside of me. Well, yeah. How much more is that going to be the case as we grow in our knowledge
yes.
of Christ Jesus? That's part of him conforming us to his image. So as we grow in our knowledge of Christ, we're going to mature, and we're going to pass on those qualities that he's passed on to us to others. And that's just an exciting part of this Christian yeah. life. So I think as we end this broadcast, I'd really like to end it with Ephesians chapter 3. Paul introduces this whole section on the church with a prayer. And his prayer is that, you know, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that we may be rooted and established in love and have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Will you adopt this as your yeah. personal prayer? I guarantee you it's a prayer God answers, and you're going to be so thrilled and excited when you see how he answers it in your life.
Yes. Well, thanks everybody for joining us for this special teaching edition of Basic Gospel. I want to remind you that we have an opportunity for you to click a subscribe link on our homepage at basicgospel.net and receive the daily radio broadcast. You'll receive the blog post by Bob Christopher and other ministry updates. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Also, we've been pointing out recently basically the answer to the question, where should I give to support the work of God? And we encourage you to give to the church or the ministry or to both, where you're hearing truth and actually getting answers and guidance for living a life guided by the indwelling spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and where you know others are going to hear the truth as well. Of course, we hope that Basic Gospel is one of those ministries meeting your need. And if you can make a special gift right now, we would surely love for you to be a partner with us. And you can do that by visiting our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or by dialing 1-800-727-2828. Well, thanks for joining us for this special edition, everybody. We hope that it's been beneficial to you, and hope you'll join us next time. In the meantime, for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis, God bless you, and have a great day in the Lord Jesus.